Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
على آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Let me start with a beautiful blessing of Durood e Pak. Just imagine this, that you could see your place in Jannah from this world. How amazing would that be? Standing here on the surface of the earth, you could see the palaces of Jannah and know that this place is mine. There is a vazifa. There is something that you can do that can help you see your place in Jannah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Durood e Pak upon me 1,000 times a day will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Subhanallah. How long does it take? A simple Durood e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad takes maybe 10, 12 minutes maximum. 12 minutes. And that would mean that you would have the amazing blessings of reciting Durood e Pak that the scholars have written volumes on. But not only that, you would see your place in Jannah before you left this earth. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, life didn't begin when you were born and it doesn't end when you die. Allah Azza wa Jal created the souls in Alamul Arwah and kept them there. And then there was certain things that happened. And our scholars, they gave us the knowledge that, alhamdulillah, we made promises to our Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal. Certain things were done. And today, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we moved to the next segment. The souls have been created. They've made a promise to our Lord. That was last week. Let's move to today's topic, inshallah.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
Now, today's topic, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, is something really special. Because we know Shiraz Bhai very beautifully kind of talked us through how Allah Azza wa Jal created the soul, how Allah Azza wa Jal then put it in Alamul Arwah. And you will remember the beautiful words he used last time where he said that time you spent with Allah Azza wa Jal in the Alam, in the realm of the souls, was the beautiful Ayamullah, the time with Allah Azza wa Jal. How beautiful was that? But today, we want to go further than that. Let's ask Shiraz Bhai, what happened next? What was the stage? We're all there waiting. All of our souls were there. The souls of the entire creation up until the day of judgment were there and waiting. And what happened next? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shiraz Bhai, welcome back to YOLO. Today, as I've just mentioned, what I wanted to do was start from where we left off last time. So the Alam-e Arwah, the realm of the souls is there. Allah Azza wa Jal has taken the promise and the oath that we spoke about last time. And then there were certain responsibilities that were given. So everybody's waiting. What happens next?
Well, at this point, remember Allah Azza wa Jal had already created the skies and earth at this point.
SubhanAllah.
It was ready made, and so the animals and all sorts were already on the planet. Even we've actually missed out a part. There were jinns on the earth prior to all this.
Prior to creation of the souls?
No. So prior to humans getting here.
Ah, prior to humans, okay.
So that's a separate subject. He decided to send humans onto the earth as his ambassador, and he chose Adam alayhi salam as his selected first prophet alayhi salam. So the dunya, the earth was created, it was prepared, and Adam alayhi salam for 40 years his body in Jannat was without a soul.
Allah.
And this is where the Hadith Sharif comes in, Kuntu Nabijan wa Adamu Bayna Ruhi wal Jasad, that I was, Tirmidhi Sharif, I was a Nabi. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that I was a Nabi between the time Adam alayhi salam was a soul and body. So whilst Adam alayhi salam was in that phase where his soul hadn't entered his body, Prophet ﷺ was already an existing Nabi.
That's amazing. Because we've heard for a long time that beautiful hadith of Mubarakah where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we hear the scholars quote that at the time of Milad-e-Pak as well, especially. But that is amazing. I didn't know that. So basically, the Alam-e-Arwah is created, and then Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's body Mubarak is created. And then there is a gap of 40 years.
So 40 years his body was in Jannat, and all the angels were just surrounding it and fascinated by the beauty of this creation.
Allah.
The ayat of the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, that we have created insan in the most beautiful measurements, the most beautiful dimensions. The best ahsan is mutafdeed, the most beautiful dimensions insan has been. So the angels were surrounding his body and basically saying, Subhanallah, what is this? Then last week we talked about the nur of the Prophet ﷺ was on the blessed forehead of Adam alayhi salam. So this was the reason Imam Fakhruddin Razi writes, when the angels prostrated towards Adam alayhi salam, says that in al-malaikata umiru bis sujudi li Adama, that the angels were commanded to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, li ajli anna nura Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi jabhati Adama, that they were commanded to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam because the nur of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was placed on the blessed forehead of Adam alayhi salam.
Allah.
So this was going on, and then eventually Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. So this soul was then given to Adam alayhi salam, and it wasn't like a sudden that it went inside him and he sat up. So it went inside and it spread within his body.
Allah.
And the scholars write that when it went up to his nose and his mouth, and he sneezed, and when he sneezed, so this is his soul going into his head area, and that's when he said Alhamdulillah after sneezing.
Allah.
And then the angels replied, Yarhamukallah.
Oh, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this beautiful sunnah that we're taught,
yeah,
is actually from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and the angels. Subhanallah.
This is one of the first, this is the first word spoken by Adam alayhi salam.
Allah.
Alhamdulillah. So whenever we sneeze, many of us say different things. We should always say Alhamdulillah. And when someone does say Alhamdulillah, the person listening must say Yarhamukallah. It's wajib for him to say Yarhamukallah. And then the person can recite Yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum. So this is a beautiful tradition of Islam as well. Someone sneezes, we say Alhamdulillah.
I'm just going to bring you back slightly. You know when you said Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the angels that as soon as I put in him my soul, you need to prostrate towards him. And Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi has written that it was the nur of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this prostration was a show of respect for Hazrat,
yeah,
Adam alayhi salam, but in actual fact, it was a show of respect at the nur of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How amazing is that?
Yes,
Allah, Allah, Allah. Don't,
yeah,
let me stop you there. This is just amazing stuff.
And then, so what happened was, the soul, so then this soul carried on spreading within the body of Adam alayhi salam. And he sat up. And after a certain amount of time, wallahu alam, Allah knows best how long this period was, he was the only human in Jannat. And there's no other human from that category, there's no other humans. And humans' nature, that every human has, he will feel lonely. Adam alayhi salam began to feel slightly lonely. Allah made him feel like this.
Subhanallah.
So Allah put him back to sleep.
Allah.
And after in Jannat, so then from his rib, on his left side of his body, he took his final piece, the final rib at the bottom of his left rib cage, and replaced it with a piece of meat. And with that rib, Allah Azza wa Jalla made Hazrat Hawa Salamun Alayha, the mother of all creation, all of humans, and placed her behind him in Jannat. And when Adam alayhi salam, when he woke up and he turns around and he sees such a beautiful creation, and he leans forward to touch her, and the angel stopped them.
Allah.
And the angel said, "You are not allowed to touch her." And he's like, "Why?" He says, "You have to offer her dowry first." And now the mahar. And now the question is that there's no gold coins or silver coins, there's no currency in Jannat. So he's like, "So what's her dowry? What sort of mahar am I supposed to give her?" And they're like, "You have to read Durood Sharif upon the Prophet."
Allah, 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 Subhanallah.
So the reason for like our existence today, I mean, for us to come into the dunya and from offsprings to spring from Adam alayhi salam and Hawa salamun alayha, it was because of Durood Sharif.
Allah.
I mean, if Durood Sharif wasn't there, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there at that time as well, for someone to be recited Durood Sharif upon as well. So the Durood Sharif was there. Scholars say that, a group of scholars say that he read Durood Sharif 3 times. Some say he read 10 times. Some scholars say that he read 70 times Durood Sharif. And then he was allowed to speak to her and talk to Hawa salamun alayha. So from then on, this... you could say this process of humankind started, where Allah Azza wa Jalla then eventually sent Adam alayhi salam to the earth, and then creation offspring spread out. Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him certain commandments as well.
You mentioned last week that some people remember that time. You remember last week we were discussing it, and we remember that time. And that is, that would be amazing. So, you know, your walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, and some of them remember the time in Alame Arwah as well. So I'm going to bring in Bisharat Bhai here, because that time, Bisharat Bhai, you know, because obviously the Alame Arwah, and I think last week you mentioned Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, who mentioned, has mentioned in different parts of different books that the Alame Arwah, and how they recognized people, etc. And that was such a beautiful example of that. But this stage, Bisharat Bhai,
I want to touch on something just before I go on to a waqia. And this is in relation to Zahira ke Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Bibi Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha. They were in Jannat. Yes, actual Jannat. Before they came into the world, they were in Jannat, that Jannat that the Muslims will enter after Yawm al-Qiyamah as well.
Allah.
And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, they enjoyed the benefits of Jannah whilst they were there as well. And this is something, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, that is within the beliefs of the Ahli Sunnah, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. I wanted to mention a beautiful waqia regarding the His Majesty Huzuri Ghose Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Beautiful waqia. And in relation to Ghose Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we're all aware that he is a wali, a saint by birth as well. And his blessed mother, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, she was a waliya as well. And she would recite 18 paras of the Holy Quran.
Oh. Yani
she would recite 18 paras of the Holy Quran that she had memorized. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, she would recite them whilst Huzur Ghose Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in her stomach. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, she was a pious mother. And after the birth of Huzur Ghose Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes to the madrasa at the age of 5.
Allah.
And like, you know, a lot of us, we go to the madrasa, and it's the ustad that teaches us and, you know, advises us and tells us to recite Bismillah. And look at this, Huzur Ghose Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes at the age of 5 to the madrasa and he recites the Holy Quran to the ustad. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, he recites those 18 parts of the Holy Quran, yani by heart, that his blessed mother had recited whilst he was still in her stomach,
Allah,
to his teacher.
Akbar.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Whereas we can't even remember, Alhamdulillah, in the last episode we learned through Alhamdulillah Shiraz Madani that, you know, we can't even remember Alame Arwah. Yeah, never mind, you know, whilst we're in the stomach of our blessed mother. But look at the awliya Allah. Alhamdulillah.
So he memorized 18 paras of the glorious Quran in the stomach of his mother, because myself, I used to recite it.
Imagine that, right? Your first day in madrasa.
Allah.
And you know, you've opened the Quran. A normal student, like Alif, and he's took on Alif, for example, and 5 year old, he's read Tasmiyah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He's read the entire Surah Fatiha. And then the Surah Baqarah is moving on, and this is his first day. He's not just read one para,
second. A 5 year old, and you know, the start. I think there was in one riwayat that Sharia, didn't they say that you start after, when he read 18
yeah.
paras, the Ustad asks, why are you stopping?
Yeah.
And he says, well, because my mother was only half of 18 paras of the Quran, that's why I only learnt 18 paras in my
mother's stomach.
In the mother's stomach.
So
Allah,
in the mother's stomach, Hazur Ghusl Azam, radiallahu anhu, he learnt 18 paras within the mother's. There's many, you know, if you read the books of these Sufis and the Buzurgs in the past, many in many different places they mention that. I remember my mother used to give sajda, and I used to give sajda, and I remember my mother used to say Allah's name, and I used to say Allah's name. Very big lesson for us, Harun bhai. When our sisters, Islami, when they are carrying a child, it's very important for them 9 months for them to be in the zikr of Allah. I mean, if they want their children to be
pious,
yeah, the tarbiyat, the nurturing of their child, in them 9 months.
For their entire lives, but especially those namaz.
Yeah.
You know, if Subah Sham, if you, from morning to evening, if the Islamic sisters are holding the glorious Quran, reading the glorious Quran, listening to the Nate Paks, doing the zikr of Allah, there is no doubt that that will have a bearing and an effect on the child. I'm going to put Shiraz bhai on the spot, because you know, some people, they were thinking Sayyidi Ghusl Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu learnt 18 paras in his mother's stomach, you know, how can that be? And we know from the glorious Quran, when Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was born, what did he say?
He began to speak.
What did he
on the
say?
Very first,
exactly,
very
when,
first,
he, when he spoke.
Yeah. Yeah, and on the very first day when he was born, it was a dalil and evidence that our Maryam Salamun Alayha, this was a miracle for her to bear a child without a father. Isa alayhi salam began to speak on the very first day, give her entire khutbah. Then after that he didn't speak, it was just the very first day in his cradle. Subhanallah. One thing I want to mention, you know,
but he said, just to finish that off, he said that I am the Nabi of Allah, I have been sent with the book. So at that stage, he's just been born.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, he's the amazing status of a prophet, and he'd been given everything, because prophets are prophets. You know, some people have these timelines, and I was a beloved prophet, saying he wasn't a prophet, and then he was. No, they don't have timelines. Prophets are prophets, aren't they? And even in the Alam Arwa and beyond, it's beyond our comprehension.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are such amazing hasties, these amazing creations of Allah Azza wa Jal, and these are his special people, which they're beyond our intellect.
So as humans, our creation of the soul, we spent one entire phase, as I mentioned in the previous, we have 5 phases, alamul arwah, and the very next phase is the mother's stomach.
Allah.
So we, our existence, 1/5 of it, 20% of our existence was in our mother's stomach. So from the alamul arwah, then the mother's stomach. Then after that, now we're in the dunya, third stage, then the alamul barzakh, and then the hereafter. So when we spent our time in our mother's stomach, this is one of the main reasons why there is so much respect for mothers in Islam, because we spent our 9 months in there, our soul and our body became attached inside the mother's stomach, and this is why there is so much respect for mothers. And in the Quran we have Allah's name first, that Allah commands us, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا, that Allah has commanded you to not worship anyone except Allah, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and towards your parents be respectful, do favors for them.
Now, inshallah, we're gonna do a full program on that particular topic of parents and the sacrifices they make. I'm just gonna bring you back to one thing that you mentioned. You mentioned that when the angel comes, I think you mentioned Hazrat Mikael alayhi salam, and when that the soul is put into the child within the stomach of the mother, and one of the first things that's written for him is his rizq. So, just on that, because we have got, and then the second thing, I think you mentioned death, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've got the night of the 15th of Shaban.
Yes, yes.
Tell us a bit about this night.
Yes, of Shaban. Very sensitive night.
Allah.
In this night, very special things happen. So, Arumbai, everything's written already.
Right.
Everything is decreed. Allah's knowledge is endless. It's written. Allah commanded the angels to write everything on the divine tablet, Lawhul Mahfuz. Now, the first sky that we see, this is a barrier. Whatever is above this first sky from the angels, from the creation, cannot descend underneath it. And anything underneath it cannot go above it, other than the four special angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi
salam. When you say sky, we don't mean the blue sky that we see, we mean the corners
the
of
first,
the universe.
The first canopy.
Yeah, the universe as the humans know it, where the telescopes can see, those telescopes can't get to the outer edge of the universe, because the scientists will tell you it's still expanding, so they can't reach that.
Yeah. So the first sky, whatever's above this cannot come down, whatever's below this cannot go up without Allah's permission. And four angels, special angels, have been gifted that permission. Jibreel alayhi salam used to bring the wahi, Mikael alayhi salam brings down the sword. So there's in this night, what happens is, now every me, you, Basharat Bhai, we all have two doors above this first sky, above this first canopy. Me and you possess two doors.
SubhanAllah.
Now inside, one door, and these are like one-way systems. In one door, what happens is only rizq comes out. And in one door, only good deeds or bad deeds go in. Me and you own this door. So our rizq, so the breath that we are taking right now, children we have, the clothes we have, the money, food, every single thing, the oxygen we breathe, this is rizq. The time that we have, this is rizq as well. Even shahadat is rizq.
Allah.
So everything is rizq. Love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rizq.
What a beautiful rizq that is.
And may Allah give us loads of this rizq. So rizq is coming out all the time, and deeds are going in all the time. And whatever comes out never goes back in, and whatever goes in never comes back out. In this one night, now after an entire year, our door with where the good deeds or bad deeds have gone in, that door closes. And from the first canopy, the angels take this onwards. And so now that's a clean sheet. There's no good deeds or bad deeds in there at that time. And in our door of rizq, everything is finished. And this is refilled for the next entire year on Nisfu Sha'ban.
On the 15th night, this is Wednesday night.
Yeah. So in this night, it's a very sensitive night, because that's when your rizq is decided. And that's when your deeds are going into the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Scholars tell us that as for your a'mal, you should start your entire year with good deeds. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, talking about, you know, keeping a clean slate. And it's like a little easy way to keep a clean slate. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran that إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُزْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, that the good deeds, they extinguish the misdeeds.
Allah.
Now this, in the tafsir of this ayat, is amazing. The Prophet, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ says that when you do a misdeed, God forbid, follow it rapidly with a good deed.
Allah.
Because now this is the amazing way. You know, the angels, we say that the angels are on our right shoulder, but reading the way angels are, if an angel was on our right shoulder, the size of an angel would break our shoulder. So they're on our right side. called the Hafaza, the group of angels. There's at least five widows at all times. So these angels, the one that's on the right side, that they write our good deeds, the one that's on the left side writes our misdeeds. Prophet ﷺ says, when you do a misdeed, now the left angel, or the angel on the left side, would write this down. And when you do, now the Prophet ﷺ says that to follow it with a good deed. So for example, if someone's committed, let's say, for example, God forbid, he's lied, he's told a lie to his parents, quickly do a good deed. That would be go and tell the truth. Why? Because the angel who writes the misdeed, now the word mentioned is sa'at, which means hour. It takes, and he says that he writes down the misdeeds after 6 hours. This is a blessing that Allah has given to us, that when a person commits a misdeed, it is written down after 6 hours. So the Prophet ﷺ says that follow it with a good deed. Now what will happen is, you got 6 hours to do a good deed.
Allah.
And some scholars have said that is 6 minutes. So we should follow the 6 minutes to quickly do this good deed. So once you've done a misdeed, follow it with a good deed. Now what will happen is, remember, one bad deed, the angel writes it down once. And a good deed, even though it's one, the angel will write it down 10 times. So telling the truth is a good deed, so the angel will write it down 10 times. A misdeed, it will write it down 1 time. For example, lying. Now what will happen is, the angel, the Prophet ﷺ says that because the angel on the right side will say to the angel on the left side, that hold on, don't write down his one misdeed, I will subtract it from my 10 and I will write
Allah,
9 good deeds.
Allah, subhanallah.
So this is one.
We'll offset it.
This will
we'll
keep. Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Allah,
you just subtract it from the good deeds, which will be 9. So this is one way to keep your slate clean all the time throughout the year.
Look at the blessings we get for being the ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I haven't got time to go into that famous hadith of Mubarak of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, where for one good deed we get 10.
Yeah.
But inshallah we will go through that some other time. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've gained a lot of knowledge. It's been very, very enjoyable as well, but very informative. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We're way over this section. We're going to move to our next section, which was the social issue. And inshallah, we will discuss the concept of sustenance. It comes back to the same point, inshallah. So, halal sustenance.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
Now, sustenance and halal sustenance, it's a great blessing from Allah, and there's no doubt about it that Allah blesses us with rizq. And as you say, before we were, you know, the soul was even put into people. When you're in the stomach of your mother, Allah already has decreed way before then, and your rizq has been written. And yet we disobey Allah to earn things. We don't have this concept of pure halal rizq. And then there's that famous hadith of Mubarak, isn't it? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have said that, oh people, Allah is pure and He only accepts pure. A lot of people, there's no Robin Hood concept in Islam, where no matter how you gain your rizq, if you go and feed the poor, that's it. It's enough. No, that doesn't apply to Islam. Halal Islam. If I go and earn millions by way of fraud and dagha and, you know, deceit, and I spend that in the way helping people, I will not be rewarded for that. But if I have £10 that I've earned with my halal and I spend that on somebody, that will be accepted in the court of Allah, Allah willing. And that is more effective than the £1 million that I've gained from. And there's this real battle that's going along where these days the concept of halal and haram has really dwindled. You know, in the olden days, our kind of pious predecessors had a very strong concept of it. And what was halal, and what was haram was haram. And they didn't cross those boundaries. And today, we tend to kind of, let them pale into insignificance.
I was listening to a speech of Nigrani Shura on Madani Channel, and it was in relation to Iman. You know, our Iman is the most precious thing that we've got. And unfortunately, because of things like greed, and these inner illnesses that we have within us, we commit these sins, which unfortunately puts our iman at stake. Like Shiraz Bhai just mentioned, that we're giving a reason for committing a sin. And na'uzubillah, who's to say, you know, we don't know how long we're going to live. What is to say if we passed away whilst committing that sin? You know, and these are the sort of things that we take it very, very lightly. We take sins very, very lightly. And in relation to rizqi halal, we're always looking for shortcuts. Yeah, a shortcut. Shaitan puts this waswasa.
What about rich overnight, Sharad Bhai? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. And this is where things like, you know, we look within our societies and, you know, people are selling drugs. People are selling haram things. People are doing haram things, gambling, etc. And they're putting their livelihoods, their families, you know, all of these things at stake. And unfortunately, it's one of the biggest tricks of shaitan. That look for a shortcut. We've already been told that our
Whether it's right or halal or haram, if it's a shortcut, we jump at the chance, don't we?
Our risk is written.
What's happened in our society? What it is, okay, we have a soul and we have a body. Okay, two separate things. And we've mixed both of them up. The soul needs five namaz.
Subhanallah.
The body only needs to eat half a roti. And because we have mixed things up, we think, okay, haram food, eat a lot, we'll feel skoon. But we don't get the skoon, so we do a bit more. We're just looking for that skoon and skoon, but we're not finding the skoon.
Shahid Bhai said, we turn to drugs, we turn to alcohol,
to find that skoon.
But what they forget is
they have not understood that your soul just needs five namaz and a fast on a Monday.
The soul, as you said, the soul comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't need the material world. And sukoon comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Peace and tranquility, you know, fast car, a big house, Bisharat Bhai, isn't going to make me feel at ease. And the irony is that people who earn haram, what happens to them is that unfortunately, you know, they don't even get to eat the rizq. That, you know, they might be millionaires. And there was one example that a scholar once gave. And he said that in a certain country, there was a guy who was a bad man, a bit of a gangster type. And he was, you know, no tamize of halal and haram. But he was so-called Muslim. And he had wealth that you can't even imagine. But the doctor said to him that you can only eat roti made from, you know, when you sieve the atta and you get that bura on top, it's called kind of the brown oatmeal type thing. You can only eat roti of that, and you cannot eat any curries, you cannot eat anything. What you can eat is a fine watery dish with a little bit of flavoring in it, and you can eat it with that. Now, he's a multi-millionaire or billionaire. Being a multi-millionaire doesn't mean that you can eat three times roti. No, Allah Azza wa Jal restricts your sustenance. So you might be a millionaire, but you can't eat because of illnesses and, you know, difficulties. And your life becomes miserable because the very children you try to work for, they make your life miserable. And
you can download it from Dawood Islami's website. And it talks about a person, you know, like things like a grand car, a grand house, a grand job, yeah, children, all of these things, these are blessings from Allah Almighty.
Subhanallah.
But a person who over occupies themselves in these things, yeah, this becomes negligent. Yeah, so when it's time for namaz, you're preoccupied doing other things, this becomes negligence. As a person who's turning towards haram as opposed to halal, this is complete negligence. And this is where we have to learn about our beautiful deen. And we learned earlier on that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, look at our beautiful deen of Islam. It teaches us, you know, about where we were before we even came into this dunya.
Allah.
It teaches us about, you know, being in our mother's stomach, how we came about to be created, how our soul entered our body. Apart from that, what things are written, pre-written before we even come into the dunya. So all of these things is knowledge, and this is something that we all need to learn about in order then for all of these, which are satanic waswasa, these are tricks of shaitan, for us to be able to defend ourselves, we need to understand where we should be.
You know, subhanAllah, that's very beautiful. So, inshallah, Madani Recharge, I've got a beautiful story for you. Inshallah, that's our next segment.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
Vishal Vishraj Bhai, in the last section, what we do is we have a story about the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when it comes to the devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that stand out, there is one hasti that he is basically, if you talk about Ishqi Rasul, the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anywhere in the world, his name will come to your mind. And that is Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Let me tell you about Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. He is a slave who's been sold through the markets and he ends up in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And the master at the time, Umayyah, he was sold on from somebody else, and Umayyah is beating him and torturing him. And one day he says to him, you know, you need to grind all these grains. So he leaves him with some grains, and Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala is ill, he's not well. And he's very cold, and you know. So he takes a chadar and a mantle and wraps it up, and he's there, and he falls asleep. Umayyah comes home, sees the slave there, and he wakes him up, and he says, "Look, I'm not well." So he starts to beat him, and he says, "No, you need to do this." And he gives him a big pile of grain, and Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala sits with the grinder, and he starts to cry, and he's grinding, and his kismet wakes up,
Subhanallah,
because outside that house in the gali, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking past. Akash Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala crying. So he knocks on the door, he inquires, he goes in. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala says that this is my situation, but who cares about poor people? I'm a slave. Who, you know, you look like you're somebody special. Why would you care? And in one of the riwayats that I heard was that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves and comes back with some dates and a bowl of milk.
Subhan.
And says to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, "Bilal, you sit here, put your kambal back on, you have this, and I will grind the wheat for you."
Subhan.
Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grinds the wheat, and they say that the scholars write that the wheat finishes very quickly. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Right, now tomorrow, when you get the next batch, leave it there, you rest, and I'll come and do it." And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala says, "Who are you? You know, in this era that people don't give anybody rights, and I'm a dark-skinned slave that nobody cares about. Who are you that you are looking after me?" And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "I am Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "Is it that Muhammad that the people of Makkah are calling a magician?"
Allah.
Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Yes, I am that Muhammad." Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala falls at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, please accept me." And he comes into the fold of Islam.
Subhanallah.
Look at the rahmat to the mercy to the universe.
Subhanallah.
Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala becomes the companion. Who, you know, I'm running out of time, but there's a very famous hadith of Akad. He will be the first to enter Jannah. And the Sahaba Ikram say, "Ya Rasulullah, how come Bilal enters first, even before you?" And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on the camel, she camel that I am on, the reins will be in the hands of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. As a ghulam, he will enter first, as an aqa, I will enter.
Subhanallah.
This is the great status that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. But Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, we could do a series on his Ishqi Rasul. May Allah Azawajal give us all just one qatra, one little droplet that we could share amongst the entire earth of his love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, may Allah Azawajal increase the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter.